Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you. Good to see you this morning in this chilly wind. But that's okay. The Lord's good in the chilly wind as well as He is the warm sunshine. So we just thank the Lord for allowing us to be here today. And this is a good crowd. We're so thankful for you. So let me hurry. Brother Phillips done warned me about taking his time. So... a few announcements tonight after the evening service. The adult Sunday school teachers will meet in the Berean classroom. Okay. This coming week on Tuesday, the quilting circle will be at 11 a.m. in the Family Life Center. Is that correct, Bobby? Okay. And then Proverbs 31 workshop at 6 p.m. in the chapel on Tuesday also. So 6 p.m. for those that are working in that Proverbs 31 workshop. On Wednesday, of course, we're going to have our family worship, and then the bus workers will have a meeting at 8 p.m. back in the Berean Blue Room, okay? Friday and Saturday, they will be having the couples retreat over at Pigeon Forge called To the Moon and Back. So if you signed up to go to that, that will be this coming Friday and Saturday. We'd like to extend our condolences this week to Rick Hall and Becky Roten, who their mom went home to glory. And wonderful lady, and just keep them in your prayers. Also to, let's see, Mr. Tony, I gotta get my glasses. Tony Slaughter on the passing of his mom also. So Tony's not in here, but we're offering condolences to him. Also, got a praise this week, Brother David Lawson, who is Francis Lawson's son out in Illinois. He had his open heart, and everything went well. So we praise the Lord for that. And then today, on our prayer request, we're asking special prayer for Nancy Brinkley. Nancy's over in the hospital at Johnson City. We're praying for her. We're praying for Leslie Farmer, who's got some tests coming up. Praying for Jerry Lovegrove, who's got some surgery that'll be coming here in the next week. And just pray for him. Jim and Tony Armson has not been here since she got her eye surgery, but she did do well in that. So... she'll be back just as soon as she can get that cleared up. Brother Scotty Callier, we're still praying for him. He had eye surgery also. Birthdays this week, Carl Bond.
One of the prayer requests, Tony and Anita are traveling up in Maine. They had a death in the family, so just be praying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, big tall Tony and Anita. They're traveling in Maine, so they'll be back soon, too. Carl Bond will have a birthday on February the 27th. That's this coming week. So happy birthday, Carl. Also, he's been out for a couple of Sundays. He fell, and he's got a cracked bone in his arm, and they got a little cast on him. So pray for him, okay? So that will be the ones that we will... go to the Lord for this morning. And does anyone have an unspoken? Okay, unspoken, unspoken. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, for your love. We thank you, God, that you have blessed us so much, Lord. And Father, we are excited to be in your house this morning. We're looking for Brother Philip to bring us a message this morning. Just so excited to hear about your word. Lord, we pray And thank you also, Lord, for our visitors. I pray that you'll bless them, God. And thank you again for loving us, for going to the cross and dying for our sin. And Lord, pray for our pastor as he comes at the 11 o'clock hour now. And Lord, give him your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he will bring to us that we need to hear. Lord, we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. And by the way, we do have a couple of visitors back here. I done forgot your first name, but Pippin, right? Okay. And his wife, okay? And they're visiting. They know Brother Abbott and know about his son and over in France. So it's good to have y'all this morning.
Thank you, Danny. Ricky, you can go ahead and put up John 3:21. I'm going to have him put some verses up there. I'll try and call them out and give him a little bit of time so they work with us. Last week, and you can turn to James chapter 2, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Last week, I spent most of my time focusing on what God means when he says in verse 21, was not Abraham justified by works? I should have stopped there. I felt so frustrated after class. I felt like I had not done a good job. I struggled with it for a good while this week. And I realize now I was reviewing my notes and I thought I spent 30 minutes talking about that one phrase. And then I tried to cram the rest of my lesson into the last 5 minutes and talking about works. I shouldn't have done that. That's why I felt so frustrated. I went home and told my wife, I said, I just blew this today and I couldn't figure out why. And so I tried to cram this idea of works into the last 5 minutes. So I apologize for that. I hope I wasn't too chaotic. The subject of works, our works, the subject of works is too important to cover it, not to cover it thoroughly. If works, our father Abraham was justified by works. If our works are going to justify us before God, then we need to give them a careful consideration. Works are so closely bound together with faith that to have it missing is for God to say your faith is as a dead thing. Now that's important. Works are so essential to our faith that it causes faith to grow and mature and be made perfect. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. So we need to consider our works. Let us ask and answer three questions. What are good works? If you remember, and everybody probably knows this verse. One of the first passages I ever memorized for soul winning was Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We probably could all quote it. Very familiar. Now I can't. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, what are good works? Number two, where do good works come from? And number three, how are good works achieved? You and I must satisfy ourselves that what we are doing in our Christian life is acceptable to God, that he sees our works and says, that is just, that is right, that is exactly what I want to see in that person's life. That is acceptable to me. That's what that verse on that wall is saying to you. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds, his works, may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Everybody that is doing truth needs to come to this book and say, am I doing good works? Why am I doing those good works? And how am I able to achieve those good works so that they are wrought in God and acceptable to him? Matthew 7 and verse 23 says this, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. That's just scary, isn't it? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, why are their works iniquitous? They're doing it in Jesus' name. They're doing it in the church, probably. Why is it iniquity? Well, number one, if you try to add any works to the finished work of Christ, that's iniquity. That's just sin. That's exactly how he sees it. But if every work that we do does not arise from Christ's work in us, that's also iniquity. I want to prove that to you. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, right? But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, Ephesians 2 is a doctrinal statement. It is stating facts. These works are rejected. They're no good. These works are good. I'll accept them. But it does not tell us what they are or how to do them. It's just a doctrinal statement. We're going to find the companion verse to that. You can put up Philippians 2:13 on the screen now. And it states this, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So whereas Ephesians is a doctrinal statement, Philippians is practical. This is where the rubber meets the road. It is the putting of Ephesians into practice. Now, what is it that we ought to do? Now, that's important, right? Good works. We're to be busy. We're to be doing things. This verse describes it in Philippians 2:3. We're supposed to be doing his good pleasure. That is the object of all that we do. All of our works should be his good pleasure. Now, let me ask you this. If we're not doing his good pleasure, what are we doing? Right? If it's not his good pleasure, then we're doing something in the energy of the flesh. We're doing something self-willful. It could be religious. It could be any number of things. But it's not his good pleasure. His will is what we are instructed to pray for. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will, your good pleasure. We're instructed to pray this, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is what our Savior did always. James 8, verse 29, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. For, because of this reason, for I do always those things that please him. Now that's exactly what he wants us to do. His good pleasure. Why was the Father with Jesus Christ all the time? Because he was always doing that which was pleasing to his Father. Folks, if we are not doing what is pleasing to him, do you think the Father is going to be with us? Think about that now. If we're living in self-will, if we are doing something that we can do in the energy of the flesh, is the Father going to be with us at all times? Isn't that important? So it is vitally important that we are doing those things which please him always, because that assures us that God is with us just like he was with our Savior. Hebrews 13, verse 21. To make you perfect in every good work, to do his will. Good work to do his will. Hebrews 13, 21. Working in you. That's Philippians chapter 2 again. It is God that worketh in you. Working in you. Here it is again. That which is well-pleasing in his sight. God's watching us. Isn't that what we were saying all in our, for most of our lesson last week? For Abraham was justified by his works. Who was watching his works? Genesis 22. God was watching his works. In his sight, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then the last part of Hebrews 13, 21, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we are supposed to be doing his good pleasure. Notice I haven't said anything about X, Y, Z. I haven't listed anything. I haven't said anything. There are things that you and I are doing, but why are we doing it? Are we doing it because it's his good pleasure? That is the effect. The great cause, as we see in this verse, Philippians 3:21, Brother Rick, the great cause is God working in us. None, now let me say this, none of our works should arise out of our own will. Period. It is God working in us his good pleasure. It is God. We are his workmanship. Folks, if you and I can do it without God, what are we doing? Right? It has got to be his work in us. And by the way, it is God that worketh in us. This is an inner working process that nobody sees but you. God working in us. This is what we see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. Brother Rick, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. Now, the Lord says this seven times to every church in Revelation 2 and verse 3. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth. The Lord states this over and over to every church. He that overcometh. Now we have to ask ourselves, do we want to overcome? Are we overcoming? Overcomers. Do we want to overcome whatever it is that keeps us from doing the will of God? Now, what is the first thing he says? He says, I will make you to eat of hidden manna. Now, folks, I had my spiritual birthday last month, 50 years, praise the Lord. I can remember when I was first saved and people that were 50, I thought I had one foot in the grave, and here I've been saved 50 years. I was a young man. Anyway, every one of us in here should have this testimony. You're in a service. You're in a Sunday school class. You're reading your Bible. And all of a sudden, God starts working in your heart. And what he's doing is making you eat hidden manna. Have you been there? Can you testify to that? I've been in services where I thought, oh my soul, this is for me today. God is working in my heart, and what he is doing is showing me something in the Bible that he wants me to focus on. He's causing me to eat hidden manna, correct? Have you been there? Of course you have. If you're a child of God, God has worked in your heart. Amen? If you can't raise your hand to that, then you have a faith that will not profit you. We are his workmanship. It is God that worketh in us, and he does it by a secret work of his word, hidden manna. And then guess what happens? He gives us a white stone. That's the inner work. This is the outward evidence. And it's white. It's righteous. Amen? It's what God can accept from what he did in that person's heart. And guess whose name's on it? I will give thee a white stone, and I will put your name in it, he says. Let me get my verse again. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saveth he that receiveth. It's just between you and God, and it's your works, his pleasure for your life. Inner working, outward evidence of it. All his children have this process at some time in their life. This is that verse in Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Have you ever been there? In a service, in your Bible reading, in a Sunday school class. And I was in a Sunday school class one time, the pastor wasn't even speaking to me. And it wasn't even, I mean, he was reading the passage and God made me eat that manna and said, that is for you. I want you to get this in your heart because this is my will for you. That was that small voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Matthew 13 is a parable of the sower. I'm doing that right now, by the way, to you. I'm sowing seed. Just throwing it out. If you are a wayside hearer, the devil will pluck that manna out of your heart before you hit the back door. Maybe even faster than that. If you're a worldly Christian, there's so much, there's so many thorns in your life, in your heart, that it just chokes the word out before it can ever bring any fruit. If you're a stony ground hearer, just very shallow Christianity, you'll receive it with joy. You remember that? He said, and they receive it with joy. But the sun rises up, they go out, it withers and produces no fruit. But there's a kind of person in here that's a good ground hearer, and that seed gets into your inner man. Amen? And it brings forth fruit. It does something. If whatever that seed, I don't know how seeds germinate, but all of a sudden it begins to grow in that heart, and eventually fruit comes of it. Amen? Now, who hadn't had this as an experience in their life? Now, that is God. The object is his good pleasure. How does he bring it about? God worketh in you through hidden manna, through a seed sown, through something you've read, and God begins to have you feed on this hidden manna, and he is doing a work in your heart in regards to something that is his pleasure for your life. This internal working reveals to you his good pleasure for you, causes you to feed on hidden manna, and causes you, put Philippians, did I say 2:31? Yeah, 2:13, excuse me. Causes you to yield to his will. Okay, let me say it again. For it is God that worketh in us. It's got to be him. It's got to come from him. It's got to be his work in our heart. We're talking about good works now. Whatever it is, God working in your heart, that which is pleasing in his sight, hidden manna, a hidden work in the heart, and then both to will and to do. So now we're talking about your will. Bending your will to whatever it is that he's working in your heart. Now, you might struggle with that, or you might come straight down to the altar and say, what Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. I don't know what goes on in your heart. We all have struggles about the will of God. Sometimes it's very difficult, like with Abraham, amen? Offer thy son upon a mountain that I will owe my soul. Lord, help me to surrender to your will in my life. Sometimes it's life-altering. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's very difficult. All I wanted to do with my life before I got saved was to be a pilot. I had all my ratings. I was a certified flight instructor. No, I was in the middle of my certified flight instructor program. I'd already gotten commercial, multi-engine, IFR, everything I needed to make a living at flying. I loved it. I got saved in the middle of my flight instructor program, and God said, I want you to get involved in church. That is not my will for your life. Give that up. And I started working on a Sunday school bus. Now, I had to find a job. I'd just gotten out of the military. I had to find a job. And God gave me a job with civil service, cleaning floors at VT3. Was it VT3 down at the south end of the base? Bunch of officers. We had never, ever reached any officers in that little church. It was a bunch of enlisted men like myself that just had gotten gloriously saved. No officers. God put me in that spot. And I was taking a break one day, and the guy named Christian Cast said, hey, I'm Christian Cast, how you doing? And I got to tell him, I forget exactly how we met, but I told him, I said, God saved me. And I was going to be a pilot, and I had all these ratings, but I gave them all up so that I could do the will of God. That changed his life. That's what he was living for. And we started getting all of these officers, and I had this little mop closet, and they would pile into that mop closet, and we would talk Bible. Then they'd pile out, and here comes all these, their commanding officer and stuff, piling out of this janitor's closet. But God was doing a work because I just was willing to give this up to do whatever was his good pleasure. And it was just that. Amen? That had my name written on it. For Christian Cast, he went on to have a career in the military and ended up being vice president of air services over all of their program for UPS. But everywhere he went, he served God. Now, that stone for him wasn't that stone for me, amen? That had my name on it. This had his name on it, that he served God in that capacity everywhere he went. He is a wonderful Christian man. But what is our motivation? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. If you have time, Brother Rick, you can put that one up there. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, can you finish it? Which worketh by love. The only motive that God will accept is love, because you love him. There's a passage you're very familiar with in Luke 7. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water, for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And here it is, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Folks, nobody gets their sins forgiven by the works they do. Amen? She did not get her sins forgiven because she did all those things to Christ. Her works justified her before God, and because Christ saw those works done for him out of love, he was able to say, well, your sins are forgiven because this evidences that you are a new creature in Christ. She would not have done it otherwise, correct? So he's not saying you're saved because of the works. Those works are an evidence that you're saved. This is our whole text in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? She was justified. That's right. That is what I want to see. And why did she do it? Because she loved much. Amen? And our Savior said, everywhere the gospel's preached, that is going to be a testimony of what I want to see. Those are good works. Now, only, by the way, if you want to look at more about love, you can look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I won't go there, but it says you can do all of these things and be nothing if you don't have charity. Amen? I'm running out of time. Charity is the only motive. Love is the only motive that God will accept. If you're doing it because you want to be seen of men, if you are doing it because you're feel like you have some obligation to do it, if it's not because of love, well, then we come to our next point. It is God that worketh in us, both to will. So there's the will. And what is the will? What motivates the will? We love Christ. I want to do this because he has worked in my heart and I love him and I want to surrender to him. And you might have to pray for grace because prayer is involved in all of that for sure. But we still need the power to do it. Now, that's where grace comes in, and that's what we see in the next part of Galatians. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do. Now, folks, if you can do it in the energy of the flesh, God's not in that. God wants you and me to do everything that we do because he's given us grace to do it. Now, grace just does not mean just unmerited favor. Grace, folks, is the power of God to do good works for his honor and glory. That is, if love is the only motive, grace is the only means by which we do whatever we do. And when we do it that way, God, like he said, in our text, that is justified. That is something I can put my stamp of approval on. That's acceptable. Those are good works because I worked in your heart to do it through my word, and I bent your will to love me enough to want to do it, and then I gave you grace. More prayer, amen. I gave you grace to do my good pleasure. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 2. The fathers, by faith, the fathers received a good report. And what do we see in Hebrews 11? All these works that they did. Faith producing works. Hidden manna producing a white stone with your name on it. Righteous works that God can say, that's just. Let me say it in a negative way. If any of these elements are missing, you know, I was there for many years, and I think, why isn't that person growing? Why aren't they being successful? And then you pray, and you know, and you want them to be strong Christians. Why? Somewhere in this verse, they failed. They were either doing it for me because the preacher, and I had a guy say that one time, said, preacher, you got really got a hold of me, and that just really got a hold of me, and a week later, he was gone. Folks, it's not me that needs to get a hold of people, amen? It's God that needs to do the work. I don't know what happened to my microphone, but I'm blaring it out now. If, I'm going to say it on the negative sense, if any of these elements are missing, we will be frustrated in our endeavors to serve, to grow, and to overcome in our life. It's got to be God working in us. It's got to be His good pleasure. He has got to bend our will to do it through hidden manna, the working of His word in our heart, and He has got to give us grace. We will see this more fully when we get to James chapter 4, because there we see God resisting those believers. Remember, God resisted the proud. Why? They were proud. They were worldly. He called them adulterers and adulteresses. They were lusting. They were warring. They were killing. They were praying to no effect. And God set Himself against them instead of being with them to give them grace. Somewhere they got off of either His good pleasure, my lust, doing it for the wrong reason. I mean, God's not working in their life. And James chapter 4 is a tragedy of Christian experience. Amen? By the way, that's what we see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 16. Right before the passage where he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To he that overcome will I give to eat of hidden manna. God, give me more hidden manna. Amen. Gosh, that's what it's all about. Work in me. But the verse right before, he said this, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He's talking to the churches. Is that even possible? Oh, it is possible. I've seen it in people's lives. So, we come back to John chapter 3, verse 21. That he that doeth the truth cometh to the light. We've seen some light today, amen. Cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest. I want to know that what I'm doing right, that it's his will. I want to know that this is wrought in God. I'm not working in the energy of the flesh or to be seen of man. I have some ulterior motive that I'm doing it because I love. Everybody that wants to do the truth comes to the light, so that he can be sure that what he's doing is wrought in God. Are we doing his good pleasure? Are we doing his good pleasure because he is working in us through his word? Are we doing his good pleasure because he has caused us to want it, worked on our will? And are we doing his good pleasure because we have his grace to do it? Have you ever gone forth trembling. I don't care if you're afraid to do something or the other. God can give you grace over that. I just soon see you afraid to do the will of God and get on your knees and pray for grace. Then you have the, I can do this. I don't need God. I don't need to pray. I don't trust that. Amen? If you're afraid, then pray and ask God for his grace so that he, why? So that he can get all the glory. When it is like this, we will receive a good report. Our works will be justified in his sight, and they become good works. Why? Because he did it all, and that's praiseworthy. By faith, Abraham knew God's will, knew his good pleasure, offer your son. By faith, he surrendered to his will. He went. By faith, he offered his son, and his faith accomplished works that were pleasing to God. Father, I hope I've done justice to it today. I'm sorry that I mashed it up last week. Lord, I pray that you'll help every one of us to come to the light, that we may be sure that what we are doing is wrought in God. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks.